Scott Hansen here from NFL Red Zone. I hope you're checking out 1 hour of 5 Yard Rush, one of the best podcasts on NFL football in the UK.
Hello and welcome to the 5 Yard Dynasty podcast with me, Rich Cooling. So not only an exciting show, but some very exciting news. So joining me today is Liam, who is going to be joining, well, has joined, shall I say, the 5 Yard family as co-host of the 5 Yard Dynasty podcast and also going to join us as a writer. So Liam, how are you doing?
Not bad, thank you, Rich. How are you?
Good? I'm good. It's an exciting day. It's been in the works for a few weeks, but really excited to finally have you on board.
No, I agree. Yeah, it's been in the works for a few weeks, and it's good to be on board finally. And we'll see how it goes from here. But excited to do some exciting things with 5 Yard.
Fantastic. And also joining us, so it's my brother Kenny, but I guess now this is your third appearance on the podcast. You're no longer my brother; you're now friend of the show. So it's friend of the show, Kenny. How are you doing, Ken?
I'm good, thank you. Am I not brother of the show now? Then is that not how
maybe yeah. we'll give you that name as a new title? Yeah, fantastic. So so we're going to dive into it this week. We spent, let's be honest, the last few months obsessing about rookies, and rookie hype is still very much in focus. So we're going to kind of flip 180 on that, and we're going to focus on some veteran values that you can be looking to target in your dynasty leagues that can essentially tip you over and hopefully win you some titles this season. I've talked on the last couple of podcasts about, you know, the decision around when you've got an aging asset. You know, we talked about potentially selling last week with Anthony Cornetti, and now is the time to sell some of those assets. But once you go past that sell window, it sort of opens up a really good opportunity to buy. And so we're going to run through some of our favourite buy candidates, some guys that you can get on the cheap because they're old, quite frankly, but can still give you at least another season or two of production. So, Kenny, I'm going to come to you first. So who's your first kind of veteran buy that can help you win now?
So this was when you started talking about this idea for the show. This was the first guy that popped into my head, even before we looked at any of the numbers or anything like that. And it's Tom Terrific, Tom Brady. I think he stands out as the obvious candidate here. If he's on a team that in your league is looking at a rebuild or is not possibly contending immediately, then he's the guy that I would be thinking that is there. And I think his value is just too good to ignore.
Yeah, absolutely. So his current ADP in Superflex leagues is around QB23, which, you know, that seems slightly ridiculous when we're talking about potentially giving you one, maybe two top 12 seasons. I mean, where do you think his longevity is, Kenny? Do you think there's much left in the tank? Do you think it's going to be a couple of years? Do you think it'll be a one and done? Or
I am no longer ever betting against him to just keep going forever and ever and ever. I mean, what, this guy in 2014, people were talking about him being done. So, you know, no. In all seriousness, I think you've got to look at it realistically as you're thinking he's probably going to be 2 years fantasy relevant. I mean, obviously, there is precedent that with some of these older guys, Peyton Manning is the obvious one that springs to mind, that when it goes, it can go quick. So I think, you know, it is obviously, if you're going for him, you know you're not going to get, there's absolutely no resale at all with him. You're investing and that is it. You're stuck with him. But I think we're going to be looking at a top 10 QB for probably two more years, at least to a 10 to 15. And like you say, if you're getting him at the end of pick 20, QB 23 in a super flex, there's just a lot of value there.
Yeah. So. I guess for me, he's that sort of dream safe third QB, isn't it? If you've gone slightly risky at QB two, whether it be, you know, one of these rookies, someone like a Zach Wilson or someone like that, or even, you know, you've gone a bit more expensive and got a Jalen Hurts or someone like that as your QB2. If you've got Tom Brady as your QB3, you know you've got that floor almost every week, haven't you? He's never going to throw a lot of picks. He's never going to have a horrific week, and just offers that safe plug and play kind of veteran.
Absolutely. I think as well, you've also got that option if you went, say, QB early in the first round, and then you can hold off and maybe get one or two rounds of getting high quality position players before you get him. And then you know he's your QB too. You know, right, I've got to find a high quality backup, either with this year's rookies or potentially next. But yeah, you're absolutely right.
Yeah. So, Liam, bring you in on that. I mean, current price for Tom Brady, sort of, I guess, around that sort of late first, early second in current picks. I mean, if you're a contender, are you happy giving up your first round pick for someone like Tom Brady in the Superflex League?
It really depends, because at the moment, everyone thinks they're a contender. It's that time of year. Everyone's looking at their teams going, oh, I fancy my team more than yours. And no one really knows what the injuries are going to look like. No one thought that Saquon Barkley and CMC were going to get injured last year, and they were going 1 and 2 in most drafts. So I'd be reluctant to give up a first, especially this early in the offseason, if you're talking about 2022 picks. An early second, I'd probably be a lot more happy to do so. Just looking back on his stats over the past however many years he's been playing, because it feels like an eternity. The only time he's finished outside of the top 16 quarterbacks was when he finished quarterback 18 in 2016. And that was the only time he's not played 16 games since 2009.
Yeah.
Wow. That says everything that you need to know about him, really. He doesn't miss games. And as I know a lot of people in the community say, availability is a great asset for any player. So having a QB, even though, yes, he is on the older side, having a QB that is, especially if he's your QB2, pushing as a QB1 in scoring, that is what contenders are made for. So yeah, if you are a contender and you truly think you are, I definitely recommend sending your 2022nd. If you're talking 2021 picks, I'd probably give up an Elijah Moore, Rondale Moore for him, if you are pushing for that championship this year.
Yeah, absolutely. I think if you can, you know, if you can package it, you know, maybe even a second and a third, something like that, go out and get a Tom Brady, it could easily sort of tip you over the edge to winning that title. So then, sticking with you, Liam, so where are we going with your first kind of veteran value?
So again, this was the first name that I came to when you posed the question to me, and that's Adam Thielen. So even though you've got the new hype around Justin Jefferson over in Minnesota, Thielen still finished as a top 10 PPR wide receiver last year. And considering that no one really rates Kirk Cousins, he still managed to keep both of them as high-end assets last year. And then in 2019, he got injured. But then 2018 and 17, he was again still top 10 in PPR scoring. So you could probably get him for about a mid-second at the moment. And I think that's a very worthy price to pay if you are a contending asset, or a contending roster, sorry, and just try and grab in that extra wide receiver, extra asset to push you over the edge, as you said.
Yeah, I think, and this, to be honest, players like Adam Thielen were kind of the reason I thought of this, is that I talked about a little bit on the Fantasy Wildcard Streamathon, which if you haven't checked it out, you should definitely go and check it out. It was a fantastic day, really. But basically, a mid-second round pick in your rookie draft, you've got about a 25% chance that player puts out one top 24 season as a fantasy producer. Well, if you can go and spend that on Adam Thielen, I'm fairly confident that Adam Thielen's going to have at least one top 24 season, if not more. And I'd certainly give it more than a 25% chance that he did have. So I think, you know, if, as we said, if you are a contender and everybody's still obsessed with picks at the moment and young players, it's such a good buy, because, you know, the chances are, if you just literally look at it on a purely odds basis, you're going to get more than the investment on someone like an Adam Thielen. Kenny, do you think that you know, Adam Thielen, he's 31, 32 now. He's getting up there in age. Obviously, we saw Justin Jefferson come in and really kind of slightly take over that offense towards the end. Do you think Adam Thielen can keep reducing for another year or two, or do you think we've already hit that cliff?
No, I think you look at it and it suggests that he's possibly seen his best days behind him. But if you look at the roster, there's no one else on there apart from Justin Jefferson and maybe Irv Smith to a certain extent that you're looking at thinking, oh yeah, they're going to, you know, take away the targets kind of thing. The other thing is that obviously last year where Justin Jefferson was quiet for the first few games and then obviously came to life, it would have taken teams a while to adjust. So it'd be interesting to see what kind of coverages they go up against this season, where I think that Justin Jefferson is going in as the clear number one. So does that mean Thielen's going to be getting, you know, a lot more favourable looks? So I think to me, from that side of it, I think it's a great shout. I think certainly one, possibly 2 years again of high level production, but you know, he's also where he's a good route runner. You can see the idea of him, if they do, you know, go and get somebody else, you could see him settling into a role where he might be quite effective in the slot or whatever. I think he's got at least 2 years of being a very fantasy relevant wide receiver.
Yeah, absolutely. And let's be honest, with most rookies in the second round, if you're getting 2 years of production, you're absolutely delighted. So I do think that sometimes we become obsessed with these rookies and we think they're always going to be, you know, the next Justin Jefferson. But actually, chances are they're more likely to end up like a N'Keal Harry or someone like that.
Well, and no one's going to gasp in your league when you take an Adam Thielen and get an Adam Thielen. No one's going to be like, oh yeah, that's the sexy pick. Do you know what I mean? Like, he's just going to be solid production, isn't he? That's what you're going to get. You're not going to wow anyone with that move.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So my first pick, I guess, sticking to the brand and perhaps the theme that I seem to bang on constantly about, and it's buying those dips in value when they come. And I think, you know, my pick is going to be Julio Jones. We've seen obviously a lot of talk. We've seen the Shannon Sharp video that got released the other day, which I still can't quite believe that actually happened. But it looks like Julio Jones is going to be in a different setting, should we say, next year. And the overall theme that I've certainly been reading and certainly seen on Twitter is you must go out and sell Julio Jones because no offense is going to be as good for him as Atlanta. And to be honest, I don't disagree with that, but I just don't get this idea of going and selling a guy like Julio because, you know, you're not getting anything more than maybe an early second, maybe a late first. And I'm convinced that wherever Julio Jones goes, if it's not Atlanta, he is going to be, you know, still a top 12, top 20 receiver for the next couple of years. And it's basically cut and paste everything you've just said about Adam Thielen. But I'm even more confident about it with Julio Jones, to be honest. I mean, Liam, do you think that given the kind of the press and the talk around Julio Jones at the moment, do you think it's a good time to go and buy him?
It really depends on how your teammates look at it. And I know that in a couple of my leagues, there's one or two that are looking at selling him now that all the talk's around and maybe thinking that the value has spiked a little bit. Whereas I know that there's some of the leagues that are thinking the complete opposite and they're not willing to sell because they think the value has dropped and you don't know where that trade's going to go or if that trade's actually going to happen. So really, you've got to look at have those discussions with your league. And the main thing that I've found is a lot of people are getting scared off by the injury concerns that happened last year because obviously he was in and out of the season and he was playing games and then not finishing them. And obviously the age kind of plays into that as well. But for me, I've traded for him in one league and I really had to get convinced to trade for him, to be honest. I had a younger roster, so I didn't really want to go and trade away. Just trying to think off the top of my head, I think I traded away Cooper Kupp, who's 27, for Julio Jones, who's 32. And it wasn't a one for one. There was other pieces, but with the rest of my roster looking younger, that was definitely a consideration for me. But if you're looking at contending, I can't see a reason why you wouldn't, unless you are completely worried about the injuries that happened last season.
Yeah, so I mean, guys going around Julio Jones currently in ADP. So you've got DJ Chark, you mentioned Cooper Kupp there. I mean, even someone like Jerry Jeudy. Kenny, are you, you know, if you're in a startup, if you're looking to compete in year one and go on and win the title, are you feeling comfortable picking Julio Jones over the likes of Jerry Jeudy, DJ Chark, Cooper Kupp?
Not over Cooper Kupp because he's my boy forever.
I was gonna say, yeah. I shouldn't have asked you any question involving Cooper Kupp, because I know you love him. So
yeah, love him dearly. Yeah. I feel like Julio's a bit like a Rorschach test, really, in that I think you can see whatever you want to see out of him almost. That you can paint me a picture where he gets traded to an offense and he completes it and he becomes a top 10 fantasy wideout again. I can see a situation where he's banged up and he doesn't play. I can, you know, it's really hard for me to, at the moment, the number of teams that are getting mentioned around of him, you know, I've seen all sorts from the Jags and the Raiders to the Browns to the Titans and the Pats today were apparently the favourites. And I mean, even the Titans, you look at that and you think, God, you know, him and Brown on the outside, Henry in the backfield, suddenly that looks like an incredible offence. But the offensive coordinator's gone. They've got issues on the line. You know, the Isaiah Wilson thing didn't work out, so they've got to try and plug that gap. And, you know, I just think at the moment it's hard. I think if you can get a good offer for him, if you can get that late first or then yeah, take it. But I think there's a risk element there, maybe more than I would potentially be willing to take while it's. Is final destination's unknown.
Yeah, I think for me, it's that price dependent. If I can get him for anything up to an early second, if it's the 201 in this year's draft, I'm happy paying that. Once we start talking first round pick, I start to get a bit nervous. And I think that's probably the price at which I'd probably start walking away, if I'm being honest. I think that's probably a little bit rich. But I think at the moment, with everybody feeling of quick get out on Julio before his price plummets, I think you can get him for that second at the moment. So coming to you now then, Kenny, so your second pick. So who are we looking at here as a cheap buy?
So I went for T.Y. Hilton as my second buy. He obviously came on towards the end of the year after having generally a disappointing year. There's been a lot of changes there. But again, it's kind of one of those, you know me, I like an opportunity. And when I look at that roster, I just don't, you know, I just think there's a really good chance that he ends up as the wide receiver one at the end of the year. When you look around there, I mean, I know a lot of people like Michael Pittman. I wasn't quite so high on him coming out in the draft. And I think when you consider that he's going, what, he's ADP is wide receiver 67. You've got him going generally for a third. And I kind of think, to me, there's a really good chance that maybe he's not a top 25, but a top 30, 35 kind of guy, which is a regular starter, isn't it, in a 12-team league. That feels really good value there. And it might only be for a season, maybe two, but, you know, if you're close, I think he's a guy to certainly be looking at.
Are you concerned with, you know, the age? Obviously, he's very much reliant on his speed in terms of that's been his, you know, calling card through his career. Are you concerned that age could start to disappear as we're 31, getting close to 32?
I do. I think, you know, there's a definite risk here, but it's a third round pick. You know, there's loads of guys that will be going in dynasty drafts in the third round that won't even make the roster this year. You know, and I just think that he's a... You know, when you look at the other receivers there with the Colts, and granted, obviously, rosters aren't finished now. You never know who's going to get cut and all kinds of things like that. But they seem to be a organization that sort of stick with what they got rather than going out and making splashy moves. And I just think that it's him or Pittman or Pascal and a few other guys there. To me, it seems like if you can get any wide receiver one on any team, even if the the offense is limited, and the equivalent is a third round pick in a rookie draft, or you're able to get him as a 67th wide receiver, that just feels like really good value to me.
Yeah. Okay. And Liam, obviously we've seen Wentz come into that offense. I guess it's going to be very different to the offense with Phil Rivers that they had last year. Do you think that Wentz is a good thing for Hilton? Do you think he's a bad thing for Hilton this year?
Well, I'm hoping he's a good thing. So I have Hilton on one of my contending rosters that I made a push for last year, and unfortunately didn't quite get to the championship. But he really came on in the latter part of the season. In the last couple of weeks, he had two or three weeks where he had around a 20-point performance in PPR scoring. So he definitely turned on the Jets, should we say. But to be honest with him, he frustrated me in the first half of the season. So my opinion on him has probably soured a lot, just because of how frustrating it was to put him into my lineup and get 6 points or less than that, and wonder what's happening, whether he's already fallen off the cliff. But I suppose when we're talking about all these vets, what we're trying to get across is, when you're trying to make that push for a championship, the way to get ahead of the rest of your league is to try and predict those boom plays, to the ones that the players that their stocks are going to rise. So as Kenny mentioned, he's going as the wide receiver 67. If you're paying a late third or a mid third for a wide receiver 67, and he ends up being a top 36 receiver on the year, then that's going to help you get there. And the same with Julio, with Thielen, Brady, everyone that we've already spoken about. If you're paying lower prices and then you're getting that production during the season, that's what's going to push you over everyone else in your league.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, if we're talking a third round pick, we're looking at about a 10% chance that player becomes fantasy relevant. I mean, again, I feel like I can copy and paste pretty much everything I'm saying. I'm taking that 10% chance that T.Y. Hilton's a top 24 season over the next couple within that. So, Liam, sticking with yourself then. So, who's your second pick for this veteran buy?
So, I'm staying within the conference. So, I'm going over to the Texans and I'm going to take Brandon Cooks. So, when I was thinking about this exercise and trying to figure out who to take, I realised that I don't have Brandon Cooks on enough rosters. Last off-season, you had all the talk about his concussions, and then when I started looking at his stats, he only really had a down year last year, as in his last year with the Rams, so the 2019. Even with basically nobody else around him apart from Will Fuller, he still put up a wide receiver 16 in PPR scoring, and he's going as the wide receiver 45 at the moment in startups. Exactly what I said with TY is you're looking for those values where they're going to outperform their ADP, so you can go and get that championship this year. And with his current price, mid to late second, I don't see how he's not going to outperform wide receiver 45.
Yeah, I absolutely love Brandon Cooks. He's on as many of my rosters as I think I can manage. I think he's been forever undervalued. It feels like everybody keeps writing him off as, a deep threat that doesn't do more. And it feels like he keeps getting written off in the NFL as well. You know, he's been traded, what is it, 3 times now. And it feels like wherever he goes, all he does is produce. And he's, it feels like he's been in the NFL for about 10 years. And I think he's still 27. So he's still got a few more years in the tank, shall we say. And I think that, yes, there is an awful lot of uncertainty in that quarterback room this year, but whoever is the quarterback, I think, Brandon Cooks is going to see a decent target share. And I really think that, as you said, wide receiver 45, he's a fantastic value at this point. Kenny, I know you've always been a Brandon Cooks fan. Do you think that it will continue in Houston catching balls from question mark at quarterback?
Good question, that one. Yeah, no, I agree 100%. He was one that I was looking at possibly on my list. I think, you know, I think even the worst NFL offenses, which the Texans could be this year, are usually going to have one fantasy relevant pass catcher. So as scary as they look as a team, you know, I think you've got that. The other fact is they're going to be behind in a lot of games and they're going to be thrown. You know, so I think that's also something that's going to be possibly, you know, boost his numbers. So no, I think Liam's picked well there. I think he's a definite good shout for this. So yeah, and well worth a mid-second.
And I think also that his price is probably lower at the moment because of that uncertainty at quarterback. I think, you know, if we're going to see in a couple of weeks, potentially, if something came out with Deshaun Watson that meant that he was going to play in 2021, that's not me predicting. I'm just saying if something did happen, I think you'd see his price pick up quite a bit. But I think that if you can buy that dip, and absolutely, I think he's going to overproduce his ADP, certainly. So then my final pick. So this one, I'll be honest, this isn't necessarily the player. This isn't necessarily the situation. This is just, I think that Dynasty community, Twitter, I think that ADP is kind of talking out two sides of its mouth, if I can pardon the phrase. So I think
you're about to pick Ryan Fitzpatrick.
No, I'm definitely not going on a Ryan Fitzpatrick rant again. So Deshaun Watson, hot topic. You know, we can sit here and talk about him as an asset, as a player, as a despicable, questionable human being as much as we like. But we have seen his ADP absolutely plummet in terms of Dynasty, in terms of redraft, everything. Okay, he is currently going as the QB 15 in leagues in ADP. Yet the potential starting quarterback in that offense, if Deshaun Watson is going to miss time, which everybody seems to think he is currently going as the QB 43 in ADP, and that is Tyrod Taylor. And to me, I just don't think, I can't see how both things can happen. If either Deshaun Watson is an incredible value at QB 15, if people are thinking that he's going to play this year, or if he's missing time, which is why he's going as QB 15, then why is Tyrod Taylor going as QB 43? This is a guy that's had, you know, in his last two seasons as a starter, he finished as a top 12 QB both years. He offers incredibly low interception numbers. He offers a rushing upside. You know, yes, he's not Kyler Murray, he's Lamar Jackson, but he offers a rushing upside. Yes, he's not the greatest NFL quarterback, but for fantasy production, he is competent. And you can get him as your fourth or fifth quarterback for the price of a late second, a third in Superflex leagues. I mean, I just can't understand it. I can't understand how Watson can be so cheap, but also Tyrod Taylor can be so cheap. Liam, am I talking absolute crazy? Do you think that Tyrod Taylor's just a wasted pick and we're going to see him sit on the bench and he's never going to do anything or not?
I agree with you that Tyrod doesn't fit the ADP that he's being drafted in at the moment. So who are we really taking as the 11 non-starting quarterbacks above him? So you've obviously got people like Jordan Love, and then you've got Teddy Bridgewater / Locke, who whichever one isn't starting, and you've got some players like that. But I can't think of 11 quarterbacks between the 32 starters and then the 11 high-end backups, should we say, that would provide more upside than Tyrod at the moment. And as the NFL have shown, Deshaun Watson can still get a suspension, even if it's a four-game, six-game suspension. That's six games that you're not going to get from any of the standard backup on a regular season basis. So even though he's not the sexiest of picks when you take him in a startup, he definitely provides that upside, especially for QB 43.
Yeah, Kenny, you were sitting there shaking your head whilst I was going on my little rant.
I was just having flashbacks to, I think we had this exact conversation last year, didn't we, on a podcast?
potentially. Yeah. I think I quite liked him. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a bit of a different situation. Obviously, nobody expected, you know, someone to puncture Tyrod Taylor's lung and Justin Herbert to come in and be, you know, the second coming. But I think, yes, all I'm saying is that to me, the starting quarterback in that Houston offense is currently a fantastic value. I have no idea who it's going to be. Yeah. Maybe it's a case of you go out and buy all three. You know, if you can get...
No, I mean, that's my hang-up, is that I can kind of see, obviously, not with the punched lung, hope it doesn't happen again, but I could see the Texans at 0-4 and Davis Mills is your starting QB. I mean, I've been thinking about the Deshaun thing. Obviously, we were in the startup and sort of around when all the stuff with him started, and we're discussing what was his kind of value. And I think even since then, it's plummeted. I really struggle to see how he's not suspended. He's not on the commissioner exempt list, isn't it, for the year?
Yeah.
So I would really struggle to see him being particularly relevant this season, which then means that you've got Tyrod and Davis Mills. And I just think this Houston team, it's not going anywhere quickly, is it? I mean, you know, they've kind of made their intentions clear. And I just think that if they're sitting at 0-3, 0-4, they're going to chuck the rookie in. And then you're going to be in this situation where maybe it's a little bit like the Jags last year. You know, one week it's Jake Luton, one week it's Gardner Minshew. You're never quite sure who you're going to get. And I think maybe, you know, maybe they catch lightning in the bottle, or maybe he starts the first couple of games, they get a couple of wins and you roll there. And you're right, the value is of a point where why not take a punt? But I don't know, if I was looking at a QB there, I'd be tempted to almost take one of the younger rookies or a backup somewhere else. I can't see him playing starting more than four or five games personally.
Yeah, and I think, look, let me be honest. I really like Davis Mills. I think that the Texans said something to, you know, I always believe that teams show you what they want to say in terms of how they spend their draft capital rather than necessarily what they say in a press conference. And the Texans have gone out and spent the first pick they had in the draft on a quarterback. I think that shows a lot. But Tyrod Taylor's currently going as QB43. Andy Dalton is going as QB42. Gardner Minshew is going as QB41. I think there is a 75-80% chance that Tyrod Taylor starts more games this year than Andy Dalton or Gardner Minshew.
Yeah, you're not wrong there, but then if you're in a situation where you're starting any of them in your team, even in a super flex, I think you're potentially in, if we're talking about being a contender, I think if you're rocking in with Tyrod Taylor as your starting QB on a contending team, I think you're in trouble.
But I'm never wanting to start Tyrod Taylor. I think if you're a contender in a Superflex league and you've not got four starting quarterbacks, potentially even five, I think you're in real trouble. And I think that I'm not sitting here going, yep, you're a contender, Tyrod Taylor's your QB2, you're sitting pretty. I think if you can go out and get Tyrod Taylor as your QB4, QB5, that you probably won't start him. But if he starts four or five games and maybe you get a couple of injuries or bye weeks and he can see you through that period as your QB4, I think you're sitting pretty. But I think if you're a contender and you're sitting there with only two or three QBs, I think you need to go out and buy some more, because I think that in Superflex you can never have enough quarterbacks, quite frankly.
That's exactly what I was going to say, is if Tyrod does end up playing one or two games, hopefully you're playing, or he's playing during weeks 2, 3, 4, somewhere in that range, and you probably had your first or second quarterback injury in the season. and then if you think about it, Burrow went down week 2, and then you've got other quarterbacks around that range as well that also went down. Dak went down at week 5, was it?
Yeah.
So although you're not looking at starting Taylor in any of your matchups, and if you are, as you said, you are probably in extreme trouble. What you're trying to do there is go and sell him to a contender who needs that, quarterback just for that 1 or 2 weeks, and then you immediately make a profit off your third into a second. And yes, it's not a lot, it's a round, but as we've said on here already, that difference between a third and second is the difference between Tyrod and say, an Adam Thielen, a Brandon Cooks. And then that's where you make those moves during the season, and that's how you get to the next stage.
Yeah. I mean, I was laughing there at your positivity of second or third quarterback injury by week two. And but actually, you've made a cracking point there in that, yes, you can go out and buy Tyrod now, and it's not a case of he has to be a starter for you. It's a case of if he is a starter, you can probably turn him into an improvement on the pick that you've paid for him. So I think that's a fantastic point. So Kenny, coming back to you for your third and final pick, I get the feeling we're going to go landing spot again. What you got for us here?
I'm not proud to have written this in, because I think I have to check my Ravens fan card at the door, don't I, if I say this name. But yeah, my third guy was Rashard Perriman. Again, working on a similar theory to the T.Y. Hilton one, is that someone there has to catch some passes at some point, you know. And you look, and that is, I mean, whew, the Ravens take a lot of stick for their receiver room, but Detroit, ooh, that is something else right there. And again, I think there's always going to be value in a guy that's potentially a number one receiver in the team. And if I had to, you know, pick one out of the guys there, I think he, at the moment, certainly early in the season, would be my favourite. And pick 71, I think there's a chance that, you know, I think there's a chance that he starts the season well. And then, you know, as Liam said, that there's a chance that you've either got some trade value there because he's having a good start, even if some of the younger receivers come in a bit later on, or that he's a, you know, a fourth or fifth wide receiver for you when you're getting him for basically a late third, fourth, or his ADP is 71. So, you know, again, I think there's some value there.
Yeah, and I think, look, let's be honest, he was on the Jets last year, and I was very excited because I thought that little, you know, stretch at the end of the season with the Bucks and before that with the Browns, I think he's shown some really good flashes, and I was very excited that I thought he was going to come in and kind of outproduce what the Jets were paying him. And to be honest, I think with a better quarterback, I think he would have. He was able to get open last year. The problem was that Sam Darnold can't throw the ball accurately more than 30 yards and get him the ball at all. So I get it. I think, you know, I've been saying all off season that since the draft, don't draft Amon-Ra Brown because he's landed in this great spot because he's still a day three wide receiver. And, you know, I don't believe in day three wide receivers, quite frankly. So if I'm saying that, I've got to believe that someone else is catching balls in that offense. If you're asking me, I think I wouldn't be shocked if we're going to see TJ Hockenson get 150 targets. I wouldn't be shocked if we see a lot of two running back sets and Jamal Williams and DeAndre Swift taking turns to line up out the slot. But I do agree with you. I think particularly in something like a, you know, a best ball, if you can get Rashard Perriman where he's going to have some boom weeks, he's going to catch, you know, have those weeks where it's three or four catches for 100 yards and two touchdowns or something like that. But if you can use that to then sell him off and get better value than you've invested, I think it's a great idea. Liam, are you a believer in Perriman, or do you think it's just a case of there's not going to be anyone worth rostering in that receiver room?
As Kenny said earlier, I think there's going to be at least one fantasy relevant receiver in that offense. Whether that's going to be an actual wide receiver or whether it's going to be TJ Hockenson is something else. But I think it's worth taking a shot at someone in that offense. It just depends on cost and who. I have a couple of Tyrell Williams shares, who's also on that offense, and I know that Quintez Cephas was a nice name this offseason to try and acquire just before the draft, and I sold a couple of shares of him just because of the value spike. So I do think someone in that offense is going to catch the balls, but who is anyone's best guess? It's kind of like the San Francisco 49ers backfield. You don't know who it's going to be, but it's going to be someone. So if you really want to take someone in that backfield or in that wide receiver room, sorry, take the cheapest one in my eyes of those four that we've named already. And I've kind of switched over to your philosophy this year, Rich, with not believing in day three wide receivers. And I've not got a single share of Amon Ra because I've seen him go mid-second.
I saw him go 201 in a draft and I was absolutely gobsmacked. I don't get it at all.
I was going to say, seeing him go over players like both of the Moores and other players like that, I kind of shake my head, or I'm trying to figure out why someone's doing it, and then realize that it's because no one else there is going to catch the ball other than Hockenson. But as I said, I think your best bet there is to take whoever is the cheapest option. And I don't think that's Amon Ra. So Perriman is definitely up there and he's showing flashes, as you said.
Maybe this is just the Devontae Parker style, you know, former first round pick that's finally going to break out in his, what is it now, like his seventh year, something like that. It's, you know, just that delayed breakout that we can all hope for.
Well, I mean, you've got to remember, he's a big, fast guy. Those guys will always get a chance in the NFL. You know, coaches like those guys, don't they? And you know, he has got first-round pedigree, so yeah. I know that, unfortunately. I think Liam's right. I think it is a lottery pick. I mean, you could interpret that as take all the Detroit Lion pass catches and then maybe one will work out, but maybe not the best strategy there, but... Yeah, I think he's right. Look at who's cheapest and there'll be some value there.
Yeah, I think for me, the thing with someone like Perriman is that if you're buying him with a view of him potentially starting for you a few times, I think you're going to struggle because I think he's going to have boom weeks and you're never going to know when they're coming. Whereas I think if you can view him as an asset that you can buy for, as we said, what, a third or fourth round pick, something like that. He's probably on some waiver wires, to be honest, with a view to he might have a couple of good weeks and you can then sell him for a second or something like that. I think that's fantastic play. I do think that he could, you know, be one of those guys that comes at the end of the season. He's a top 36 receiver, but he's had 10 good weeks and 7 awful weeks kind of thing. It's he's that kind of guy, isn't he? So Liam, your final pick, where are we going to go here?
So for my final pick, I wanted to try and transition away from the guys that we've already mentioned that are aging probably on the wrong side of 27. As dynasty people know, 27 is the magic number for some odd reason, even though I think it should be closer to 30. So I try to transition away from that. And we've talked about wide receivers a lot, but we've not mentioned any running back. So I wanted to go with an honourable mention to Austin Ekeler. But unfortunately, when I looked at his ADP, it's a lot higher than where I've been getting him. So I went for Zeke Elliott. So even though a lot of eyebrows probably just went up listening to that, he's going as the RB14. In current ADP, and to me that is mostly the Dak injury last year, and then him having Andy Dalton, and then I can't remember his name.
Ben DiNucci or whatever it was. Yeah.
So, really, do you think an RB running back is going to succeed with Ben DiNucci and Andy Dalton to the extent that Zeke was being drafted at RB4 last year? I don't think so whatsoever. So I think that has really soured people's tastes on him. But knowing that Dak is getting back, and we've seen pictures on Twitter over the past couple of weeks of Dak throwing balls and whatever, I think RB14 is about right for where I'd take him in Dynasty. But if you want to go and compete, which is what we're basically talking about in this episode, is you're probably paying for that upside and trying to get that boom play where the rest of your where the rest of your league gets those bust plays. And Zeke, I think, still has that RB, top RB potential, and he showed that at the start of last season when Dak was healthy.
Yeah, and I think that gonna have a little plug for my Dynasty Survival Kit, because I've just added a contract kind of depth chart. And I think that the thing that gets forgotten with Zeke when people are talking about, oh, he's over the hill. You know, he's done. They're not going to give him the ball as much. Is that they are so tied into him as a running back in that offense because of his contract. They can't do anything but give him the ball. They can't move off that contract until 2023. So he is going to be the starting running back in the offense for the next 2 years, guaranteed. Okay. I can't say that for many running backs in the NFL. There is, you know, you can sit here and you can say, oh, but I've got, you know, this second year running back, someone, okay, Kenny, put your fingers in your ears, but J.K. Dobbins, yes, the hope is that he is going to be a stud. But there's no guarantee that he is going to be starting running back in Baltimore for 2 years. He's not done it for a season. There's no guarantee in 2 years' time he will still be there. Zeke is going to be in Dallas for the next two seasons because they can't move off that contract. So I think that, yeah, you know, we've seen a huge value drop. He was a, you know, a top three, a top four running back. I think that, you know, I always say about you've got to sell running backs before the kind of the window drops and to get maximum value. But for me, I think Zeke's already on that decline. And I think that, you know, you can get him now for what, a mid first in Superflex leagues? I think in terms of ADP, so he's going back to back with Najee Harris, who was what, the 104, 105 in rookie drafts this year?
Yeah, depending on how you had your quarterbacks.
Yeah. So if you can get Zeke for that 104, 105, and I think Zeke's got a pretty good chance of being a, you know, a top 12, a top five running back over the next 2 years. I think it's a good aggressive win now move to go and make. Kenny, do you think Zeke's going to keep producing, or do you think he's already hit that cliff?
No, I agree with what both of you said, that I think he's sort of properly valued now. I think that running back has shown that it's a number of carries. He's going to get enough carries that he's always going to be fantasy relevant, isn't he? As you said, he's going to be the primary ball carrier there for the next 2 years because he has to be. You know, they've got no wiggle room contract-wise. They have to be. My only slight caveat is that I think it is. I think he, you know, his upside is where he's getting drafted. I don't see him being a top 10 back, but that's not so much him. That's more that offensive line that was once, you know, the absolute best in the NFL has now very, very much fallen towards the middle of the pack. And, you know, Frederick's gone and you're sort of, you know, Smith isn't what he once was. So you're sort of suddenly, it's you just say it's only Zach Martin on that line that looks like an elite player. So I don't know how much that's going to affect him, but the history of running backs would suggest that, you know, line play pretty much dictates production. But as you both said, he's going 14. I think that's a proper value, unlike last season where he was a lot higher. And I think he's going to get enough carries. He's going to get 300 plus touches this year because he has to.
Yeah, I do think that the one sneaky thing that I'll be honest, I don't think I've heard anyone talk about off the back of the Dak injury is obviously Dak had a, you know, a decent rushing production profile when he was fit. I do wonder if now we've seen a pretty horrific injury, whether he's going to be a little bit more kind of reticent to take off and run. And I do wonder if we're going to see an increase in the number of checkdowns if, you know, if there's not things open downfield. And I do wonder if we're going to see an increase in the target share to Zeke and he can, yeah, he's not got the running back kind of off at that fantastic offensive line, sorry, that he's had in years past. But if he can offset that with an extra 10, 15 targets a year, I do wonder if that could kind of help buoy that slight drop in production because of the weakening offensive line.
If that is a thought process that they have, though, does that expand Tony Pollard's role?
Possibly, but, you know, that, I don't think we're going to see Pollard and Zeke on the field at the same time. So I think that, you know, if we're talking about Zeke's on the field and things aren't open, then the check down's to Zeke, isn't it? I think that, yeah, I wouldn't be shocked if we saw in all NFL teams, now we're moving to a 17-game season, I wouldn't be shocked to see the running back twos used more. I wouldn't be shocked to see more backfield buys committees. I wouldn't be shocked to see, you know, Tony Pollard see an increase in the screen game and see an increased usage across the board. But I do think that if Zeke's on the field, they're basically going to, we can almost pencil in now that Dallas offense is going to be 11 personnel, probably 75-80% of the time. I can't see those three receivers coming off the field.
No.
I think they're going to rotate between Blake Jarwin and Dalton Schultz, and I think that Zeke and Tony Pollard are going to rotate at running back, and I think that's pretty much their offensive personnel, and you can pencil that in there right now.
I was just going to say, I think you've sort of said about something there that's been mulling around in my head about the RB2s this year, and I think that's something that will be an interesting thing that no one knows exactly how it's going to play out. You know, obviously most RB1s are on some sort of touch limit, and it'll be interesting to see whether the 20 to 25 carries a game carries on, or whether that's maybe mapped down to 17, 18, which I know isn't loads, but over the course of a season, it will be interesting to see if more and more of these backfields are legitimate two-back, operations.
Yeah, what I was going to say to that, just on the targets point for Pollard, was he only saw 40 targets last year. And I say only, that's still quite a lot. But when you take into consideration a quarter of those came against San Francisco when Elliott wasn't playing, you're seeing, 30-odd targets a season? And yeah, we're always not going to get the mirror image from last year to this year. But if you take that into consideration, and the year before he didn't see many targets either, he saw 20, but that was his rookie season, so take that as you will. And I do think he'll get an expanded role, but how much that expanded role is actually going to eat into Zeke's role is to be confirmed, as we're all guessing at this point. But I suppose from what history is telling us at the moment, I like Zeke's chances over the amount that Pollard is actually going to eat into it.
Well, that concludes the kind of veteran by nows. What I would say, guys, if you're listening, it's a bit of a risk, because I think, as Liam touched on earlier, at the moment, everybody thinks they're a contender. But if you're going to go out and buy veterans, now is absolutely, in fact, probably the last month is probably the time to do it. I think that as we start to get closer to the season, as we start to get people in that sort of redraft mindset, some of these veterans are going to start creeping up those ADP lists and the prices will start going higher. At the moment, everybody is still obsessed with rookies. At the moment, everybody still thinks that, the top 20 rookies that were drafted in rookie drafts are all going to be absolute studs and move on and won't hear that any of them are going to bust. But I think that go and buy those veterans now and put you in a better position in 2-3 months' time. What you might find is you can go out and buy a veteran now and you can probably sell him for a profit in 2 months' time once people start to get in that redraft mindset. But thank you very much for joining us, Kenny. Thank you very much. It was fantastic to have you back.
Thank you very much for having me.
And Liam, as we said earlier, absolutely delighted to have you on board with the 5-Yard family. Where can Rush Nation find you? Where can they read your work and find you on Twitter?
So I recently changed my fantasy app just because it was difficult to say and difficult to remember. So it's now the FSA tweets, and just a bit more ring to it and a bit more of a easier to say and remember. So find me at the FSA tweets, and we'll try and get some more Dynasty content out there.
Fantastic. Well, I'll be honest, I'm very pleased that you've changed your handle, because I always struggled to say the last one. So very pleased for that. And guys, if you haven't, please go and check out my Dynasty Survival Kit. It's my pinned tweet on Twitter. There is, if I can say so myself, some really good stuff on there in terms of, there's my rankings, my rookie rankings, there's the trade value calculator, there's the contractual depth chart that I mentioned. Every player in the NFL that's fantasy relevant, you can see how many years left on their contract, when they're potentially could get cut and move on. I think it's really important to start thinking about contracts when you're playing some of those dynasty leagues. So we will see you again next week, and we will have another great show for you.